Sunday is always the Sunday after Pentecost. So Pentecost was last week, and Trinity Sunday has been traditionally celebrated the week after Pentecost, because it's only by the indwelling Holy Spirit that we can even begin to comprehend the blessed truth of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which separates us from every other religion, and it is what the Bible teaches, and that's most important. One thing you'll notice, and it's what defines Christianity. If you ever ask what makes a denomination Christian or not, it's the subscription to the three ecumenical creeds. You know the Apostles' Creed. We say it every Sunday. You know the Nicene Creed. We say that often. But the other creed that is part of the canon of being a Christian church is the Athanasian Creed. And once a year, we have to, I don't want to say labor through it, but once a year on Trinity Sunday, and it will be printed on the back of Psalm 8. So if you didn't get a copy, you'll need Psalm 8 for call to worship, and the Athanasian Creed is on the back. They are on the table in the narthex. A couple of announcements. We have a couple treats for you today. Well, one's a treat for me, because I didn't have to prepare a sermon this week. As we've mentioned, we've got some ordained ministers in our congregation, and they don't serve as pastor here, but they are wonderful members, and we're going to be blessed by Lisa Dibble today as she brings a sermon to us. She pastored Cove United Methodist Church in Big Island for a long time, and also the Huddleston Church. So we're going to be blessed by that. And I didn't have to preach a sermon, so prepared this week. So it was, I had needed to prepare for the denominational meetings where Sherry and I'll be through Tuesday night. But the other treat is your Eucharistic minister, Jen Reynolds, has made cookies with Trinitarian symbols on them. So you can get those. She was going to give them to you before the service, and I didn't think you'd stay. So you'll get them after the service, but make sure you get a cookie and notice the Trinitarian symbol on it. And then finally, the summer study that we're going to be doing, we're going to take a break from the study we've been doing on Wednesday mornings or Thursday nights. It'll still be the same time. But this summer, we're going to look at becoming a praying church. And we're going to look at prayer and how it shapes the church, and I think it'll be a real blessing. So if you haven't been a part of that study, this is a great time to jump in. It'll begin the week of June the 14th or 15th, depending on which class you come to. Any other announcements? Let's share some prayer requests. One that's not in the bulletin, but I heard about it after that was printed, is Yvette Clark has been in AFib since Wednesday. So just pray that she will get back into rhythm. We also want to lift up Larry Shepley. He's having a severe cold. And I have a letter that was sent that I'd like to read. It says, "Dear beautiful, generous souls of the Well family, thank you all so much for your generous support. Facing hospital bills is overwhelming. I am so grateful for your help and your prayers. I still have a few more tests, and I believe that they will show I am well. Please pray this prayer with me. Thank you for my healing. Thank you for this precious human life. I know in my heart that I am held in perfect love and all is well. I am well. This is my mantra. I am in perfect health. Thank you for caring and sharing with us. In peace, love, and unity, Jennifer Mahames." So we are grateful that she's doing much better. Any other prayer requests, praises, or concerns? Martha.
Nancy Turner has been on that prayer list. She's she will have major surgery Friday. When she went down to Texas, they found more suspicious cancer in her throat. So she'll have that surgery on Friday. And I ask for prayers, and I'm sure she has felt them. I was hoping when she went to Texas, that was going to be the end of it, but it looks like it's a continuing thing with her.
Well, let's keep Nancy Turner in our prayers. She's having surgery this Friday. We certainly will. Thank you. Judy?
My love, Christ, who lost his wife this past week. Let's keep him in our prayers.
Let's continue to keep Frank in our prayers. And it's a real blessing that he's there with you and you can support him. And we'll keep Frank in our prayers as well. Any other items? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for all the many blessings that you have given to us. We thank you that at the heart of our faith is a Trinitarian God. We thank you that you are not only eternal, but you eternally exist in three persons in complete and perfect unity. We thank you that you have created us in your image. And we just thank you that you have, through your Son, made it possible for us to have access into the presence of an Almighty God. We pray that today we will come knowing that you have promised to meet us here, where two or three are gathered in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You have promised to be here. So we thank you for your presence. We pray that that presence would strengthen us unto your service, that we would hear your word today and receive it through these gifts that you've given to us. We just thank you for our congregation. We pray for the many that are traveling today. Give them safety as they travel. Be with the meetings that will be this week, that your name will be honored as new individuals will be ordained into your church. We thank you for the work that we are about, and we pray that you would bless us to be salt and light as we seek to glorify your name. We pray that you'd be with these prayer requests that have been mentioned. We pray that Yvette will come into rhythm soon. We thank you for the healing that you brought Jennifer, and we pray that you will continue to manifest that in her body. We pray for the same for Nancy. She prepares for surgery on Friday, even now. Prepare her body for that procedure. And we pray that you be with Frank. We thank you for your presence that is the all-comforting source. Truly, all comfort comes from you. So we pray that your Holy Spirit will draw close to Frank, that you will grieve along with him as you are compassionate to us all. We thank you for this day. We commit the following service to you, and we pray that it will be glorifying of your name and edifying to our souls. And we ask all this through the holy name of Christ. Amen. If you look with me on the front, as always, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you look to the insert that you picked up, Psalm 8, we will call one another to worship before we stand and sing Holy, 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 and we will call each to worship by whole verse. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who has set your glory above the heavens.
Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger.
When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained.
What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?
For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor.
You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet.
All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field.
The birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas.
O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth.
First reading comes from Genesis 1, 1 through 2, 4a. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was evening, there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, there was morning, the third day. God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm up with swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created male and female. He created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. Second reading comes from Acts 2:14a and 22 through 36. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of the lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. And David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, my tongue rejoiced, my flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence by the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not descend into the heavens, but he himself says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And also with you. And we are blessed to have pastors and former pastors in our congregation and some lay people that preach. And it's always good to, as a visual reminder, to know that the power and authority is not in me or in any other man or woman. The power and authority is in the Word of God. And as Martin Luther said in translating the New Testament, he wanted the youngest plowboy or the youngest maiden sweeping the floor to know the power of the Word of God as much as all. So I'm looking forward to a blessing as Lisa comes and brings peace and truth from Christ Jesus to us.
Thank you, Tom. It's my privilege to be able to stand in the pulpit here today. I preached not too long ago at my husband's two United Methodist churches. I used to be a United Methodist pastor, and he calls on me every once in a while when he has to be out of town and can't get a replacement. So I'm not totally out of practice, but it's one of those things where if you haven't done it for a while, you feel a little nervous, but you also feel very excited. And I'm very excited to be with you today and share the Word of God. One of the things that happened this week is that Tom was going to send me the lectionary, and I, being an eager beaver, got the lectionary online. Unfortunately, I got one that had a different verse. Instead of Acts, it had a verse from 2 Corinthians. And I actually started writing my sermon. I was gung-ho. And then I got the lectionary Tom sent, and I was like, oh no, I have a different one. And that's okay. Different denominations use different ones. It's slightly different from time to time. And Tom graciously said, it's all right. You can use that one. Not a problem. Just tie it in with what we have here. I said, well, I will. So I want to start by reading you the three little verses that were in the other lectionary and that my message comes from. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 to 13. I have no idea which version of the Bible I have. I didn't get that far to check it to make sure it was ours, so bear with me if it reads a little differently than your Bible. And this is Paul writing to the Corinthians. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. This is actually Paul's fourth letter to the Corinthians. Although we call it 2 Corinthians, he had written two other letters before this one that did not get preserved in our Bible, but we know that they existed. It was written at a time when the Corinthians were struggling to maintain their unity. There were divisions and quarrels going on. You'll remember that they were saying, oh, we follow Apollos, and some others said, oh, we follow Paul. And they were holding it up like one was better than another. Paul had visited them, obviously, and then he had gone to Macedonia, where he was uplifted by the Gentiles' generous spirit of giving. You remember the ones that had sent help to their Jewish Christian brothers and sisters in Jerusalem? They were not Jews, they were Gentiles, and they gave probably beyond their financial ability across racial and national lines. They weren't in that same country, they weren't of the same race, they weren't Jews, and yet they gave to help the cause of Christianity. By the time Paul is writing this book, 2 Corinthians, the Corinthians' problem had been greatly improved, but he didn't quite know it yet. He felt the need to defend his apostleship and his message to them. When he had visited Corinth, it seems he had somehow come across as being a little bit weak and lacking authority because he held back and didn't try to force his way in and lead strongly there. And there were those who had a problem with his authority and were very vocal about it. So he actually was on the same level of importance as the other apostles. You remember, he wasn't the same as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who were there in the beginning. He was Saul, who was persecuting Christians, and God met him on the highway and changed his life. So some were saying, oh, you weren't there in the beginning with the others, so you're not as good. But he had the same importance as the other apostles and was supported by the Spirit in that, and he had a deep knowledge of the Christian faith. He'd already suffered a lot of physical persecution for his strong faith. So he speaks to those who had expressed vocal opposition to him. Paul's message to the Corinthians was clear. Living in unity requires us to humbly forgive one another and to follow our leaders. Even as Christians, we hurt each other and need to forgive those who wrong us. The most hurt I think I've experienced in my life was when my best friend and her sister, both devout Christians, decided to stop talking to me over the course of a year. One lady had worked for me, and she had gone out on sick leave to have some eye surgery. While she was out, I did the budget for the new year, and there was no room in it for her position. So I had to terminate her employment while she was out on sick leave. We were small, so we weren't paying her. We didn't have sick leave like that. But, you know, as a boss, you sometimes have to make tough decisions. And much as I cared about her, the budget was clear. There's no room for this position to continue. You know, it's the unusual person that can hire a friend and keep the business role separate from the friendship part. And I've always been one of those people who could do that. I had several ladies work for me that continued to be my friend after work ended, or they came to work for me because they were my friends and they cared and wanted to help when I needed help. And I usually tell folks, when I have a friend work for me, they have a tough life because I make it harder on them than the rest of the employees. So no one can say, oh, you're favoring her because she's your friend. I don't go there. But unfortunately, in this situation, she was not the same way. She kept pressuring me for a reason why her job ended beyond the budgetary constraints. And finally, one day, you know what happened, she asked one time too many, and I told her all of the reasons. Unfortunately, the truth was very painful for her because some of it was indeed performance related. And to save some time and not make us stay here all day, I'm not going to go into what all that was. That would explain greatly to you why she would be a little upset. But I do claim my responsibility in hurting her. Sometimes we say things as bosses that we should just keep to ourselves, zip that lip. But in the heat of the moment, when you're busy and someone's pressuring you to do something, you are not, what, kind. You might speak the truth, but you're not speaking it in love and kindness. So she dropped me out of her life. I have not spoken to her again, and it's not for desire to try. She had the eye surgery. She could no longer drive. She never would have been able to come back and do the job. She was an administrative assistant and did a lot of typing on the computer. And she also went out and called on people who would donate to her nonprofit. So she couldn't drive anymore, so that wouldn't have been a possibility. But that didn't stop her from continuing to feel hurt and to not be able to face the truth about things in that situation. She moved, phone numbers changed, was not able to ever see her again or talk to her. Very, very painful. Paul urged the Corinthians to forgive those who had sinned, fallen away, but later had repented, because they weren't doing that. They were holding their sins up to the world and pointing them out and never forgiving them. I would like to be able to receive forgiveness from this lady in my life, but it's just not going to happen unless God somehow provides a way. Community and compassion were lacking in Corinth, and I would say they were lacking in my situation, and they're lacking in their culture today. This lady's sister and I had been friends for over 30 years. The sister that was the longtime friend had worked for me, and we remained friends after we no longer worked together. But this issue, where I told the truth, but not with as much love as it should have had, made it very challenging for us because she and her sister were close. And every conversation seemed to be awkward after that. I wanted to say, well, how is your sister? And I couldn't do it. And she wanted to be able to say, oh, I went with my sister to so-and-so. And she couldn't do it. About a year after that first event, that friendship died. She just all of a sudden dropped out of my life. And then she removed my phone numbers from her approved list. She has a phone service where if your phone number's not in her list, then your call doesn't get answered. So once again, there was no apology that could be made for any perceived sin on my part, any hurt that I had caused her to cause her to do that. Couldn't talk to her. And she doesn't live in the same town, so it's difficult to go visit. You might drive 30 miles and get there, and she's not there. Suffice it to say, the hole in my heart was vast. These were two people I had trusted implicitly, and to have this happen was devastating for me for years. It's hard to forgive someone for hurting you when you cannot see them and reconcile with them, and it's hard to move forward in your life when you cannot reconcile with someone. I don't know about you, but I kind of cling to stuff. I think we as humans do often cling to things that we should turn loose of right away. In order to have peace in your life, though, it's what you have to do. Each one of us has to be able to learn how to let go and go forward and leave that situation in God's hands to work in these people's hearts and in my heart going forward. And certainly it's taught a bitter lesson. Keep your mouth shut if you can't say something kind. Even if it's the truth, it doesn't matter. The truth is not what is most important there. And I say all that because what we have here in this scripture is Paul saying farewell. And he was being realistic about his leave-taking from the church at Corinth. He had left. He's in Macedonia. He's doing things with the Gentiles. He has people chasing after him, wanting to imprison him, wanting to kill him. And he doesn't know if he's going to see them again or not. And so he's saying, this is my farewell. He wanted to share what was the most important direction for them. Put things in order. Forgive. Have compassion. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. This is how you find success. This is how you find happiness in life. He's sharing that secret. And I just have to think, are you ready for your leave-taking? We have many types of leave-taking that we face. We tend to think we have forever to do the things that are important to us or to say things we want to say. I certainly thought there would be other days to visit with these two people and to share with them how much they meant to me. I didn't say everything I would have liked to have said. And not just with them, but other people in my life. But we're not even guaranteed tomorrow, are we? Some of you who've had a sudden illness have had to face this, particularly with COVID. I know June a year ago, we got COVID, and we didn't have the hard case. We had the easier type, but it sure made you think. Until you knew what type you had, you were worried. Maybe this is not going to work out good. When we walk out of this building today, will we be the same as we are right now? Something to think about, isn't it? Will we remember who made us? The scripture readings this morning, Genesis, that was a long passage, and thank you for doing such a great job reading. But it tells the enormity of creation and how fabulous it is. And God says we have dominion over these creatures, and there are a lot of them. And one day we will have that dominion over them. Do we remember who made us? Will we experience the mighty power of this great God we serve when we leave this building? The next scripture talks about it in Psalms. We serve a mighty God. Do we really know that? Do we take that with us when we walk out of here? Or do we get beat down by life? Will we choose to live in peace, forgiving others, and sharing God's love with others when we leave here? My two friends left me, but God never does. And that has been something I've held on to through some very difficult times in my life. God never does. He is closer to me than a brother. He's closer than my own breath. We have this Holy Spirit within us to guide us, to teach us, and to comfort us. Dan, my husband, and I recently prepared for one type of leave-taking, the one we all get to do at some point. We had our wills drawn up by an attorney. It proved to be a more difficult task than I expected. Not because we had bunches of stuff, because we're both ministers, so we don't have bunches of stuff. It proved to be a more difficult task because Dan has grown children from his first marriage, and he has two grandchildren from his daughter and her husband, and it's complicated. Deciding who gets what was tough. If you haven't done this yet, you really ought to go ahead and do it, because it took a good month to really work through a lot of the questions and the issues. Who is going to be the administrator of the estate, the executor? Who's going to still be living to do that? Who is physically capable of this? Who's mentally capable of it? And where do they live? Because if they live out of town in another state, then it becomes another issue. So deciding all of that was tough. And you know what? I had to forgive his children's poor treatment of me over the years, and agree for them to get my stuff. Now, I'm an only child, and if you know only children, my stuff is my stuff. And it took a lot of grace for God to help me to say, okay, if we both go at the same time, let's give it to his kids, and me not worry about it. I had to agree to that. I mean, I didn't have to, but I did, because I didn't have anybody else I wanted my stuff to go to that mattered that greatly. And I had to be bigger than that and say, okay, if we both go at the same time, your kids will have it all. That's hard to do. As we reflect on leave-taking in this last portion of my message here, we see that we leave homes. Most of you have moved at some time in your life, right? Yes? Anybody not moved? Okay. We leave towns when we move. We leave jobs oftentimes when we move, because we may move because we lost the job or got a different job. We leave relationships. Our friends are left in the original city. We leave situations. We leave friendships, we leave churches, we leave beliefs that we have outgrown, because we do change over the years and we learn, hopefully, if we're still people that put value on learning, we're learning every day. And sometimes things that we learn change our minds about beliefs. We leave schools. And I probably could think of a few more things if I continued to meditate on that. But the thing is, we do it all the time. We leave take all the time. So how do we do it? With grace, with forgiveness, with compassion? Do we take Christ with us? We hear a lot about kindness today, and that's why I brought that word up. Every time you look on the internet, it's, if it's not kind, don't say it. Put kindness first. And it's unusual that that would come to the top in the internet at this point when there's so much division and hatred out there as well. Do we perform acts of kindness, or do we succumb to the stress of our lives, like I did with the first girlfriend, and lash out in anger when things don't go our way? That wasn't my instance with her, but when you go to the restaurant and your food doesn't come and they're short-staffed and they get their order wrong, how do you treat the wait person? And yes, I'm sometimes guilty because I'm detail-oriented and I expect things to be right. And sometimes they don't go my way and I'm not a happy camper. What does the scripture say? It says in Matthew 28, our third reading, God calls us to what? Be disciples and make disciples. So we have a twofold responsibility. We can only do either of those things through showing His love. And being a disciple means following Jesus, trying to emulate what He did. Making disciples means sharing with others the love that God has shown to you, the same grace that He has shown to us. And I close today my message by reading that last verse, and it's one that we hear all the time because it's a part of our communion service. We'll hear it in a little bit. He says in closing to the Corinthians, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you and emanate out from you," is the implication here. When we walk through that door, that's who we should be. That we are known that we are Christians by our love. You don't have to stand up here and preach a sermon. You preach one every day in your actions, in your attitudes, in how you relate to others. So, brothers and sisters, I pray that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit will indeed be with all of you. And we will serve as disciples in our community, and we will make disciples. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you today.
Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together, brothers and sisters, using the words of the Athanasian Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole in the mind of God will without doubt perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. But the Godhead of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is one. The glory equal, and the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated.
the Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite, the Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal, just as there are not three uncreated or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite. In the same way, the Father is Almighty, the Son Almighty, the Holy Spirit Almighty. And yet there are not three Almighties, but one Almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, and the Holy Spirit is Lord. And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords. The Father is not made nor created nor begotten by anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but by God and the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal. So that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped. Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is by faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age, perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh, equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, but less than the Father with respect to his humanity. Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ. One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God. One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of the person. For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God in man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. At his coming, all people will rise again from their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe in faithfully and firmly cannot be saved.
Amen. You may be seated.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Threefold and glorious God, in fatherly joy, you created all things through the grace of your word and the wisdom of your spirit. In the depth of your love for the world, you gave your only Son that all might come to new life in your spirit. You rolled away the stone by your fatherly hand, and in the power of your spirit raised your incarnate Son from the dead. In your fatherly mercy, you breathed your spirit on the fearful disciples, giving them the fire of your love to live as the body of your Son. And so, adoring you with apostles and prophets, with martyrs and saints, with angels and archangels, with cherubim and seraphim, and with all your glorious company in bright array, we celebrate the glory of your praise. Holy,
holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord God, there is none beside you. You are perfect in power, in love, and in purity. You invite us to join you at your heavenly banquet that knows no end. In this meal, we recall the sacrifice of your Son and the sanctification of your Spirit. Send that Spirit upon us now, that we may be ready to be your companions, and on these gifts of bread and wine, they be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who took bread at supper, gave it to his disciples, broke the bread, gave you thanks, and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Triune God, in the dance of your love, we see your nature as utter relationship. Be close to all who struggle in relationship at home, in the workplace, across social divides, and national thresholds. As your three persons gaze in shared attention, look upon those whose lives go unrecognized. As your three members work together in true partnership, uphold any who face the struggles of their life alone. As your partners in threefold unity relish one another in deep delight, revitalize those who live without joy or hope. Make your church a community across time and space that enjoys the gift of your life and imitates the wonder of your love, until all come into your presence and gaze upon your glory. God in three blessed persons, blessed Trinity. Amen.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The understatement of the year, or all eternity, is that God is perfect and we are not. God in his Trinity does perfectly what we struggle, as Lisa pointed out, to do continually, and that is relate to others. But God perfectly and for all eternity has related with the persons of the Trinity and has come to be the one mediator, not just between God and man, but between each of us. The disciple that related to Christ most intimately, John, says in his first letter, if we say that we love God and we hate our neighbor, we are a liar and the truth is not in us. For how can we love God who we have not seen when we don't love those that God created that we do see? Echoing what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, and what I will speak to all of us, is that if we're coming to make our sacrifice and remember that there's a brother where there's disharmony, or a sister where there's aught, to stop the process of bringing our sacrifice, go and be reconciled, and then come again. Of course, reconciliation is sometimes not possible. But what is possible through the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling is that we release it. As we sing in that wonderful hymn, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." So I invite you to maybe hesitate before coming this morning if need be. And if there's aught, if there's a leave taking that still robs your soul of the peace that God has created for us. Grant forgiveness in your heart to that individual. Receive forgiveness in your heart about that situation. And as we know, don't seek to be more holy than God. He has forgiven you. You accept His forgiveness. We have cards here that maybe, if it's appropriate, you could send the individual that maybe will come to mind and just let them know that you pray for them this day. So may this be a time of healing and reconciliation, all of which comes from the perfect hand of God. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come to receive His very body and His blood. And in doing so, we will celebrate His resurrection until He comes. The feast is spread. Our Passover lamb is here. Let us keep the feast.
Thank you.
Our gracious God, you have fed us from your table. You have offered yourself to us. We thank you that in and through you, we have a peace that passes all understanding, not given to us by the world or circumstances within the world, but given to us through incorporation into your Son. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we thank you. We pray that as we go forth, we would be nurtured by your word and your sacrament, and that we truly would go forth telling everyone how good and gracious our Father is, and sharing his love with all people. Make us kind children of God. We just thank you for meeting us here today. And we ask all this in your holy name. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship by singing together, "Blessed be the tie that binds." Peace to love and serve our Lord.